Thank you, Brother Adam. What a joy it is to be. I thought I was going to Valdosta, Georgia, but at any rate, to be in Valdosta, Alabama. What a joy it is to be with you. I want to express my appreciation to the elders of the congregation here for the invitation that they extended to me to be with you in this gospel meeting. Thank you, Brother Adam. It's a joy. I've just kept up with this man, this young man, his family. And so grateful for the work which they do. And it's a joy to get to be with all of you this week. And I trust that as we study the Bible together, that it will be a source of strength and encouragement to you. Paul said in Romans 1, verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We're going to be studying the Bible, and it is our goal, our prayer, our desire to take the message of the Bible and to plant it into the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, and motivate them to obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone asked me, mentioned the fact about Roy Acuff. Wanted to know if I were kin to Roy Acuff. I was holding a meeting in Middle Tennessee, McMinnville, Tennessee, or Warren County. There are 47 churches of Christ in Warren County. Now, there may be that many in this area, but at any rate, in Warren County, Tennessee, there are 47 churches of Christ. I was holding a meeting in the congregation there, and so there was a very nice lady. Her name was Sister Knight. I never forget her. She came out, and she said, Brother Acuff, you kin to Roy Acuff. I said, well, I am, but I can't sing. She said, well, he couldn't either, and so... You know, it's kind of, my wife and I, several years ago, we lived in Michigan for many years, and that name has really never really done anything much for me, except we were coming through Nashville, and this was just about the time that they had opened up Opryland Hotel. And so we came through Nashville. Well, we stopped to take a look at it. Well, we were very much impressed, and I said to Janet, I said, look, why don't we just maybe spend the night here tonight? And she said, well, that sounds good. We have two children. I had two small children at the time. So I went up to the desk, and I said to the lady, I said, I'd like to get a room for tonight. Well, she kind of looked at me strange, as if, what's wrong with you? But at any rate, she said, I'm sorry, sir, but we do not have any rooms available. And I said, well, you will at 6 o'clock, because, you know, that's the way it is. I don't know if it's still that way, but, you know, you could cancel up to 6 o'clock. So I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I said, there's a chair right over here, and I said, I'm going to sit down in that chair, and I'm just going to sit there, and the first cancellation you get, then I want it. So I'm going to sit there and wait. She said, well, I'm going to tell you, sir, we don't have cancellations here, but if you want to go there and sit, that's up to you. But she said, we don't have cancellations. I said, well, you will today. I'm going to sit down over here. She said, well, what is your name? And I said, well, my name's Larry Acuff. She said, wait a minute. She went in the back room. She come back. She said, we have a room for you, Mr. Acuff. That's the only time it's ever benefited me. I still have to pay income tax to Georgia and the United States federal government. So at any rate, but it's a great joy to be with you. And if I can help you in any way while I am here, surely don't hesitate to let me know that. You know, the Bible, Paul said, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you're saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, how that He was buried and raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. In the book of John, chapter number 15, Jesus said, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. In the book of Revelation, chapter number 20, The Bible begins at verse number 11. The Bible said, I saw a great white throne and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of things that were written in the books according to their works. The sea gave up the dead that was in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to his works. When you and I go to John chapter number 12, in verse number 48, Jesus said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The words that I speak unto you, they shall judge you in the last day." In John, or Acts chapter number 17, the Bible said, "At the time of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, for he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained and given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead." Ladies and gentlemen, every man, woman, boy, and girl who has reached the age of accountability will stand before God in the day of judgment. Paul writes the Corinthians that every man must give an account of himself unto God. You and I will give an account of our life. The Bible says that the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. This book is going to be opened. The Bible says the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." David said, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my pathway." You and I will stand before God in the day of judgment, and every one of us shall give an account of his life based on the things that are written in the Holy Word of God. Let me encourage all of us that we follow the Holy Bible. All scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. That you and I know that this book comes to us. The Bible says, "Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." In Matthew chapter number 25, in verses 31 through 46, the Bible draws a picture for us of that judgment scene. So let me encourage all of us that we make sure that we abide by the things that are written in the Bible. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter what Larry Acuff says. I pray that maybe something will be said in these messages that will motivate all of us to do the will of God, that will help us to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, that will guide us in the right direction, so that we can hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many." That you and I may find through the Word of God how to direct and guide our life. That's our goal. My friend, listen, it doesn't matter what I say, but what matters is what does the Word of God teach us. I want you to think with me from the book of Matthew, chapter number 7. We're going to be looking at ask, seek, and knock. In Matthew chapter number 7, Jesus said, "Ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you." The Bible said, "For he that asketh receiveth, he that knocketh findeth, and to him that seeketh knocketh, it's going to be opened." When you and I look at that passage of Scripture, we find that our Lord also gives this illustration. He said, "What man that his son asks for bread, does he give him a stone? Or ask for meat, does he give him a serpent?" Now, if we also go to the book of Luke, we'll find in the 11th chapter, the Bible tells us a kind of a similar passage of Scripture, except the Bible talks about the importunate widow. So in this lesson today, we're going to be looking at these three things primarily: instruction in prayer, insight into prayer, and the in-depth examination of prayer. When you and I look at instruction, we see this. The Bible says, "Ask and it shall be given." Go to the Bible. When you and I go to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 12, we find the Bible says that David is going before God. His son is sick. He would not eat. He would not bathe. the son is saying, he is asking God to save the life of that son by Bathsheba. God said no. God said no. His servants, when the child died, they had seen David prior and they thought, well, what is he going to do now? Oh, I mean, he wouldn't eat, he wouldn't bathe before. Now that we tell him the child is dead, what is he going to do? They told him, and David said, bring me something to eat. Now I'm paraphrasing this. He bathes, he gets ready. He said, I cannot bring the child back to me. I can go to the child. What'd God say? God said, no. God said, no. You and I go to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 38, or 2 Kings, chapter number 20. And we read there in that passage of Scripture about a fellow by the name of Hezekiah. Hezekiah. God said, Isaiah, you go to Hezekiah. Now you think about this, ladies and gentlemen. If the doctor, you go to a doctor and that doctor says to you, you only have a short time to live. You're going to die soon. I'm not talking about in the next 5 years. You're going to die soon. Isaiah goes to Hezekiah. He said, Hezekiah, your time is up. You're going to die. Well, Hezekiah wept. Hezekiah went before God. Hezekiah said, God, you need to look at my life. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I'd probably do the same thing. I'm not ready to leave. I don't want to leave. God, look at what I have done. Look at the work I've done. I've done this and I've done that. And look at the influence I may have. Hezekiah, you're going to die. Ladies and gentlemen, it's appointed a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. I have, and I'm sure Brother Adam, the elders here, all of us at time, we have been with those individuals. I remember several years ago, I was preaching for the Highland Church in Detroit. And we had every day, the secretary and the janitor, caretaker, whatever you want to call him, the three of us would always have a devotional. We'd have generally donuts and coffee and so forth. And I'll never forget this. We were sitting in the office one day, and we had some donuts and coffee, and Woody was sitting there, and he wasn't eating any donuts. I said, hey, Woody, man, what's wrong with you today? He said, well, my throat's kind of sore. I'm having a problem, and I can't eat a donut. Well, let me just kind of rush it on. He had throat cancer. Wasn't very long. They called me about 4 o'clock. He was in the hospital there. Detroit Receiving Hospital. They called me and went down about 4 o'clock in the morning. Woody did not make it. It's appointed a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. God said, Hezekiah, you're going to die. Ladies and gentlemen, it's appointed a man wants to die. Wherefore, the Bible says, by one man sin entered in the world, and death by sin. Therefore, death is passed upon all men. Hezekiah prayed. God said to Isaiah, think about this, folks. God said to Isaiah, you go back and you tell Hezekiah, I'm going to give him 15 more years. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I think about, it doesn't matter what age you and I may be today, that if God said, I'm going to give you 15 more years, I'm sure all of us, we'd kind of, ladies and gentlemen, God heard the prayer and answered in the form of yes to Hezekiah. When you and I continue to read the Bible, we go to the book of Kings, 1 Kings chapter number 17. And a widow had been taking care of Elijah. And she had a son, and that son died. And she comes to Elijah and she said, what's going on here? My son has died. Elijah said, let me have him. He took that child and went him up to his room and laid down. And Elijah laid on top of him and he prayed to God. And the child came to life. God said, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, when you and I search the Scriptures, you and I can see situations as Elijah on that occasion, or we see again Hezekiah, or we see David and the child that God did not spare for David. you go with me again, and we look in the Old Testament, and go back to the book of Exodus, and the children of Israel, let me tell you, they were upset at Moses. You brought us out here to die. And I mean, they were rebelling against him, and God said, I'm just going to destroy them, Moses, and I'll raise up a nation after you. Exodus 32. You know what the Bible says? Moses said, God, don't do that. Don't do that. And God did not. He heard Moses on that occasion. You and I go to the New Testament. We go to the book of Acts, chapter number 16. Here the Apostle Paul is endeavoring to preach the gospel. He's going into these... You know, the Bible says, go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye therefore and teach all night. He's endeavoring to do that. Want to go to Syria. God said no. God said no. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a Bible, turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Go to the 5th chapter. The book of Hebrews. And I want you to go down to the 7th verse of the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter number 7, the Bible said, who in the days of his flesh, now watch this, when he had offered up prayers and supplication, now listen to this, the Bible said with strong crying and tears, the Bible says, now here's the thing, unto him who is able. Now, if you just kind of underline that in your mind. Now, I don't know a lot about Brother Adam. I know some things. I know you love him, and he's a wonderful gospel preacher. But I don't know. If I needed $1 million, maybe I'd call Adam. Say, Adam, man, I need to borrow $1 million. Well, he may say, okay, Brother Acuff, I'll send you a check. I'll be honest and tell you, I kind of doubt it. Now, he may have it, but he's not going to, he doesn't act like, he doesn't act, at any rate, in all likelihood, to be honest about it, if I need $1 million, I'm not going to call Brother Adam. I might call Warren Buffett, or I might call Elon Musk. They're the richest men, you know, or Bill Gates or someone like that. I mean, they got billions of dollars. But watch this. The Bible says our Lord Jesus Christ went into that garden with crying and tears to, now watch that phrase, to him that is able to save him. Now, look what the Bible says. Save him from death. Not only that, the Bible said, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation and all those that obey him. God said no. Our Lord Jesus Christ went into the Garden of Gethsemane. He went into that garden and he prayed, and the Bible says that his sweat was as drops of blood, and God said no. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find. Now watch this. In Matthew 6 and verse number 33, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. In John 5:39, the Bible says, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. Colossians chapter number 3, the Bible says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of the throne of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. You're dead. Your life is hid with Christ in God. And so when you and I look at it, notice what the Bible says, seek. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you and I understand that concept of search. You lose, you get ready to go somewhere, and, well, let me see, where are my keys? I can't find my keys. Well, we just sit down and say all of a sudden, I'm going to sit here and they'll come floating through there. No. What do we do? You and I, ladies and gentlemen, we get up and we'll try to, well, now let's see, I was in the bedroom, I was over here, I was in the kitchen. Let me see, let me try. We're searching. Our Lord in prayer, He said, you ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. I'm wondering sometime, ladies and gentlemen, how much we seek in order to have our prayers answered. We may ask, well, God bless me, my wife, my son John, his wife, us four no more. We may ask, but do we seek? But now, not only that, but watch this. Not only does He say, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. But now listen to this. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Ladies and gentlemen, we see that picture in the book of Luke, and the man, he's got a visitor who comes and he needs some bread, and he goes to a neighbor. Hey, get up in there. I need some bread. Man, my kids, we're in bed asleep. Go on, get out of here. Leave me alone. I need a loaf of bread. I need something to feed. He got up because of the importunity. He gave the bread. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when you and I, we look at these instructions in prayer, when you and I recognize that the Bible says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. Now I want you to see a second thing. I call this insight into prayer. Folks, I want you to see there's really four things here I want you to see. First of all, I want you to see the person of prayer. In James chapter 5 and verse number 17, the Bible says that Elijah was a man of like passion. He was a man of like passion, and he prayed that it might not rain, and it didn't rain. The Bible says that he prayed that it would rain, and it did rain. Now you go to 1 Kings chapter number 17, or chapter number 18, go to verse number 41, you'll read about that. The Bible says that here, the person of prayer, ladies and gentlemen. Now I want you to see another point, the place of prayer. In Hebrews 4 and verse number 16, the Bible says, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I want you to think about this. You know, we look at the person of prayer, and we look at the place of prayer. Now, my wife and I recently celebrated our 60th wedding anniversary. We got married when we were 5. And anyway, we celebrated our... But now, it's not always been smooth. It's not always been... Back some time ago, she went to the grocery store one day, and there was this guy that, I'm telling you, she'd been a preacher's wife. You didn't, not only Sister Megan would know what I'm talking about, she'd been a preacher's wife. She went to the grocery store one day, and there was this guy, gentleman. Now, I don't go to the grocery store. Well, I might go, but I sit in the corner and read my cell phone, you know, and so... kind of watch over it. So at any rate, she goes to the grocery store and she meets, she just casually meets this guy. And all of a sudden, she develops a relationship with him. And it just, he's nice, good looking, doesn't have much money, but at any rate, he looks better than me, and she kind of, this is, didn't they? They develop this relationship. Goes on for a while. One day she comes to me, she tells me, she said, Larry, I met this guy, I met him at Publix, and we've decided to go to Florida together. We're going to go down to Orlando, and I want you to give us the money to go. You've got to be crazy. I'm not going. You've met a guy, and you're going to Florida with him, and you want me to finance it? Now, look, folks, that didn't happen, really. You know But isn't that how we treat God? We don't serve Him. We don't read His Word. We don't talk with Him. We don't worship. We don't do what He wants us to do. But yet, God, I want You to finance my trip to Orlando. When you and I see again not only the person of prayer and the place of prayer, but I want you to see a third. I want you to see the perseverance of prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. The Bible says, ask, seek, and knock. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. You're familiar with that. The Bible, in the book of Romans, Paul said, continuing. Now watch this. Continuing instant in prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, we must be persistent in our prayer. I was holding a meeting in, again, McMinnville, Tennessee, with so many congregations. I have a great opportunity to preach, and so at any rate, I was holding a meeting at the East End congregation in McMinnville, Tennessee. Maybe some of you have heard of Glenn Colley. His dad, Gary, was the preacher at that time at the congregation, and I had preached on Sunday morning, and at the invitation, a gentleman came down with his wife. They sat down in the front seat. Of course, Brother Gary handled the invitation or the response. And the gentleman said he wanted to be baptized into Christ. And so that day, Brother Gary baptized him. And we were out in the foyer, and I was speaking with his wife. I preached his funeral, I believe it was about a year ago, maybe a little more. But I was speaking with his wife. And she said, Brother, listen to this, folks. She said, Brother Acup, I have been praying for this for 30 years. Persistence. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we give up too soon. Well, it ain't going to happen. Persistence. The Bible says, what friend would come to you at midnight? Our Lord is drawing us a picture. Do we knock on the door? Do we go before God with an earnest, dedicated, dynamic spirit for what is right? Perseverance. We're the person of prayer, and we go to the place of prayer, and we persevere in it. But now let me give you the fourth thing. That's promise. He said, ask, and it shall be given to you. I want to illustrate that promise. In the book of Acts, chapter number 12, the Bible tells us about Peter. The Bible says that Peter, if you have your Bible, you might want to go back over there and just kind of follow along here for a second. In Acts chapter number 12, the Bible says that Peter was kept in prison. And the Bible says, and because he had already killed James, the Bible said, because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter. And then in verse number 4, it says, intending after Easter. Now that was the not Easter as you and I know it, but the Passover. Intending after the Passover, he's going to kill him. So he's waiting. Now, folks, you and I, we look at life. Peter is in prison. They're going to kill him. Already killed James. I don't know about you. I'd be climbing the wall. Man, I'd be calling this, and I'd be calling somebody, you know, Senator so-and-so, can you get to somebody that can stay my execution? You know, Peter was asleep. They're going to kill him tomorrow. I'd been crawling all over the floor, begging God, somebody, do something. He was asleep. God sent an angel. The Bible is just so exciting, folks. If you go back there, the angel said unto him, well, let me back up to verse number 7. Behold, the angel of the Lord came to him, and a light shined the prison. He smote Peter. Hey, Peter. Hey, man. Get up. He's going to be killed tomorrow. Put your coat on, Peter. That's what he said. And came to him, light shined, smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, rise up, get up, quick. Chains fell off his hand. The angel said to him, now get dressed, gird thyself, put your sandals on, Peter. He did. Get your garment, Follow me. Now they walked out of there just like you going into Walmart. Out they went. When they got outside, the angel left them. He goes to the house where John Mark, whom later worked with Barnabas, is they were having a prayer meeting. They're praying for Peter. Hey, let me in. Who is it? She runs back. She said, "Somebody out there at the door." Now watch this, folks. I want you to see this. God answers prayer late. He could have gotten Peter out of prison before that last minute. God answers prayer late. God answers prayer limited. God answers prayer limited. He could have got him into the house. He got him out of prison. But he didn't. And God answers prayer leisurely. Now think about that. Late, leisurely, and limited. You see, ladies and gentlemen, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. I want you to turn with me to the book of James, and we're going to conclude in James. We're going to go to the book of James, chapter number four. I want you to see the in-depth examination of prayer. James chapter number 4. There are three situations in James chapter number 4, and I'm not going to read all these. The Bible says you lust and have not. That's what he says here. You lust, you kill, desire to have, cannot obtain, yet you have not asked. You desire to have, but you haven't asked. There are some folks who don't pray. That's sad. There is the struggling person who struggles but has failed to ask God to help them. Then, I want you to see there's not only a struggling person, but there's a selfish person here, because he said you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it on your own pleasure. So you've got the struggling person who doesn't ask. You have here, ladies and gentlemen, the selfish person who wants to spend it on himself. But then you have the spiritual person. Now, we are not going to take the time to go in detail through this. But if you take, and when you get home this afternoon, if you'll read verses 4 down through about verse number 5, here's what you're going to find out. You're going to find out that God answers prayer to those who are sensitive to His Word. You're going to find out that God answers prayers for those who subject themselves to Him, who resist the devil. That's what he says. See, they are submissive to the Father. They're susceptible to the Scripture, but notice this, they stand against the devil. So when you and I look at this, ladies and gentlemen, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Thought about this young man out in the field. And he was out in the field, and he saw this beautiful plant, this beautiful flower. As a matter of fact, he sees that flower, and he just kind of he gets down close where he can really see it, and it just fascinated him. He just took his hand and he began to dig into the earth. And he just kind of lifted that flower up in his hand. And when he did, behind him there was a mountain range. And a gate opened. That mountain light began to shine around it. And the man, he turns and he sees that. And he marches himself up there. And when he gets in, he sees this and he goes in. Man, there's all kind of jewels and gold and everything you can imagine. Man, he begins to gather all that stuff, sets that flower down, begins to gather all that stuff out. And he starts out that gate, and the voice says, "Don't forget the most important thing." He looks around. And he starts on out, "Don't forget the most important thing." Two or three times that goes on. But he proceeds. He's got his hand full of gold and jewels. And once he gets away from the mountain, all of a sudden, the door closes. And everything he has in his hand turns to dust. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. The Bible teaches Larry Acuff that God will hear and answer my prayer. Not always answer it the way I want it. Maybe you've been praying for a long time. I encourage folks to do this. I encourage folks to go home this afternoon, today, tonight, this week. Get your sheet of paper number 1 to 10. Write down the 10 things that you want to pray for. And for the next 365 days, pray for these 10 things. And at the end of 365 days, look at that list and see what's happening. Ladies and gentlemen, you may not be a Christian. Listen to what the Bible says. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayer. So today, you're not a faithful child of God. You need to obey the gospel of Christ if you've never done so. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you're willing today to change your life because you believe in Jesus as the Son of God, and you're willing to change your life by repentance. That's what repentance is. Repentance is a change of life. And then confess that name before this assembly today. You can be baptized into Christ. Your sins, ladies and gentlemen, are washed away. The Bible says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. You go down into that baptistry, and the blood of Jesus Christ takes those sins away, and you come up as a new creature. Maybe you need to do that today. Maybe you've done that, but you've been playing church. You've been maybe just a pew filler and a bench warmer, and you haven't served God faithfully. Man, today, I'm going to start today. Today's the first day of the rest of your life. Today is the day of salvation. If you need to respond, will you come now? While together we stand and sing this invitation song.